We open our Bibles to Ephesians 1. Let's read this. I'm sorry to keep standing that long. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I'll let that sink in. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I hope you're hearing that from earlier. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. St. John, chapter 1. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, I love that word in the scripture. It doesn't matter what was said before that word. It don't matter how bad it was. What does the word but mean? It means turn around. I got something else to say about this.
Amen.
It didn't say he came unto his own and he received them not, and, which means we'd have kept bad, 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 and more bad. No. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We preached last Sunday on going back to Ephesus, and I'd like to keep that thought. And part two today is the power of the will of God. The power of the will of God. Let's bow our heads together for a second. If you have a need, would you lift that up to the Lord as we approach his word? Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Knowing, Lord, as we look around the world and the signs of the times, that your spirit is just dwindling amongst the people, though there's not many that can really gather in the name of Jesus Christ, for they've left it. They've given in to peer pressure. They've given in to the ecumenical move, and the Spirit of God cannot bless what he's already cursed. But we're happy to know, Lord, that you didn't let us do that. But you brought your word, and we were given the revelation that the word is you. And we're happy to know that, Lord. And as we gather together, you said if only two or three would gather together in my name, I would be there. Lord, and we invite you as our guests of honor, Lord, that you're the reason we assemble today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we forget about everything else and just turn our eyes right to your face and say, Lord, we love you. We're here to praise you. We're here to worship you. That's why we came. Lord, and even if you don't want to bless us today, we want to bless you. We want to say thanks, Lord, for all your many love and mercies and graces that you've shown to us. Lord, and just for being so wonderful, Lord, when you could have been like Zeus, you could have been like Buddha and all these things and just hated us and we did wrong to Zephyrus. But Lord, you're not like that. You came and showed us mercy and grace and love. And we're happy to know that you are that kind of a God. You're a God that's worth serving, Lord. You're a God that deserves to be served. And us undeserving creatures, we ask, Lord, and only because it's your promise that you would come and just change our hearts from all blackness to all light, Father. May the light of this gospel shine, Lord, and may everyone that's sick, may they walk out well today. May each one that might be lost, I pray that they would find their path today. The light would shine and they would see their path right to glory. May you fill us anew with your spirit, with power and love. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now last week we talked about the Ephesians. How, even studying what little I had and preaching and things like that, how I appreciate the attitude of the Ephesian church. And you can see why God talks so highly of them, why the prophet talks so highly of them, why Paul himself talks so highly of these believers, was because they were able to take the word no matter how it came, when it came, what situation was going on. They didn't worry about that. They knew that the word was right. And if the word said it, they believed it. And they had believed, we know that Apollos came and he taught them the things of John. and they had believed those things, which were all true, but it was of a day gone by. That they had thought that the Messiah would come at some point, and they knew what to look for. But then Paul shows up, and what does Paul's first question was? Which is the first question really to anybody who confesses to be a Christian. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Not did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed, because anybody can adhere. My, anybody with enough brain power can realize that they should accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Once you realize that you're lost and you're doomed and you ain't got a chance in the world, that's the time to look and say, where's my Savior at? Anybody with a sensible mind would say, God, be my Savior. But look, there was a change in dispensation. There was a change from law to grace. And now we had to get into this covenant. And we didn't know where to go. And the Ephesians, they knew that John was pointing them to it, but they still were looking for it. But when Paul showed up, he said, I'm not here to point you to it. I'm here to show you that it has come. That this way of life, this way of salvation, this way to eternal life is here. You don't need to wait for it. You don't need to pump something up to get it. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Amen. They were able to say, we haven't even heard of a Holy Ghost just yet. Sure. What's the condemnation that'll hit really any church, but really the message churches when they have heard that there is a Holy Ghost and they still refuse to receive it? Right. That's not the attitude of the Ephesians, and that's why God spoke so highly of them. Because when they heard that word, what did they do? Paul said, hey, you believed unto, you know, repentance and things like that, and John led you to the right, to do what was right in his day, but I'm come to show you there's a greater light now. You need, what were you baptized to? I can tell you're a believer. I can tell you've got a confession, so I'm sure you've been baptized somehow. But what were you baptized to? Just remission of our sins, just to repent of what we did wrong, and, you know, try to renew ourselves and turn a new leaf and things like that. And he said, no, that ain't going to work no more. That's gone. That covenant's been annulled. Here's the covenant you need to receive. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To where God don't see you no more. There ain't no more you trying to make it work out. Amen. It's been worked out. Yeah. There's no more time for you to reform and to do this and to be good and all these things. No, that's all gone because you've been washed, purified, to the point where the Holy God, I hope you're hearing me today, the God of all eternity, who never knew any sin, can live in you.
Amen.
And we think God will live in an unholy vessel. No, he won't. But the problem is, what kind of vessel are you? You've been changed from death to life, or are you just guessing? Amen. It's time for the rubber to meet the road a little bit. Are we just trying to reform ourselves? It won't do you no good.
Right.
Because what did we read there in John 1? It said, these were born. Not of blood, which means it wasn't just because they were the son of this person, or, you know, that they were brothers to Jesus. That didn't do them no good, did it? They didn't believe the word. Now, we know that later they did. But had they not believed the word, it wouldn't have done them no good to have been foster brothers to Jesus. And we think, who else would you rather have been related to? But it's not the will of, it wasn't because you were born of blood. It wasn't because you were born of the will of the flesh. I hope you hear me now. What's the will of the flesh? I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give God all my, We're going to do this. We're going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be a Christian. You go ahead and try that. Go ahead. I'm going to let you right now. You already know the outcome. You can't do the works of God. You can't have power to become a son of God because you're trying to be born by the will of the flesh. And that's not what John said. Said they weren't born of the will of the flesh. They weren't born of the will of men. And what's the will of men? Denominations. That's all it is. We're a group of men. We're the Baptists. Oh, you join our group? You are born again now because you're part of us. And you can do it in the message. Don't you kid. Don't you put this off on something else. Look, you can do it just saying, oh, you just come along and you're part of the group and think, oh, you must be born again. No. That's how you get a two-fold shot of hell more than you had when they were out there in the world.
Amen.
At least when they're out there in the world, they knew they were miserable. Now they're naked, poor, blind, and don't know it. You may have a two-fold child of hell. That's not what we want. We want people born again of the will of God.
Amen.
And we need to get a revelation, I think, of who God really is. We got this little bitty God. We got Jesus. When he came on earth, look, he did that for you and I. That's done.
Amen.
There ain't no Jesus getting pushed around anymore. He's the Lord from heaven. If you can get a revelation that the only reason he let Satan push him around and do all those things was for you and I,
Amen.
You'd realize he's not a pushover. you'd realize that he was holding back his hand the whole time, and he could have socked the devil anytime he wanted.
Amen.
Even to the point where he was going to the cross. And remember, they tried, they got in the will of the flesh, didn't they? They said, oh my Jesus, we got this. They're not taking you captive. Peter pulled out his sword, and he cut off Malchus's ear. And look at Jesus, look at him. Don't you know that he that lives by the sword will die by the sword? He had to go do a miracle to fix Peter's problem.
Right.
He walked over there and said, are you so foolish? And everybody, was anybody here Wednesday night?
Yeah.
You're so foolish, just leaving the word. Why are you?
Right.
Goes to show you what kind of power that man was packing. And it shows you how blind you can become.
Amen.
Because the man that were right around him watched that miracle happen. I'm sure Malchus had something to think about, but I don't know about his buddies. They were probably so demon-possessed, but I'm sure he thought, huh, this ain't no ordinary man. I've often wondered if he's the one on the cross that said, this was the Son of God. I don't know about you crazy people, but that's the Son of God right there. He's the one that took my ear and put it back on. He's the one that just died, and the whole world fell apart. There's something more about this man. And what did Jesus say before he got to the cross? Right after that, what did he say? Peter, look, don't you know? I can call legions of angels right now. And I doubt it would take much more than one. He was just trying to make a point. I could wipe this scene clean gone. But don't you know I'm here to do the will of my Father? Do you see the power of the will of God was able to allow salvation to happen even against Jesus' own will of the flesh himself? The power of the will of God is what led Jesus to do what the Father wanted him to
Amen.
Do. If you can recognize that God's way is the only way that packs power, you'd stop flirting with other things.
Amen.
And it isn't easy all the time. Oh my, Jesus looking at the cross. Look, he went and prayed that it would pass from him. It wasn't easy to the flesh, but he wasn't born in the flesh. He was born in the Spirit of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He was virgin born directly from the Holy Ghost. For those of you that have been born again, you have to realize that we've been brought to the same position with God.
Amen.
It's the exact same. Don't you get down here and live in this grovelly life and just miserable all the time. Don't do what the prophet said, get enough religion just to make yourself miserable. That ain't no good. That's not what the Ephesians did. When they heard there was an unconditional covenant, they jumped right in.
Amen.
And guess what? When Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we understand, I hope you do, that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's the exact same being born again in the Spirit of God. They are
Amen.
One and the same.
Amen.
The Scripture never separates those two things.
Nope.
And we need to, I want to emphasize on Paul for a second here. Ephesians 1:1. And I ain't planning on teaching today. I hope that's okay. I know some of y'all think that teaching's just boring, but you know, maybe we'll get over that here in a little bit and realize teaching that's from the gospel makes results.
Amen.
Look, the book of Ephesians, let me just throw this out there real quick. If you're not saved, don't read an epistle. You're wasting your time. Go read the Gospels and read the book of Acts. Because that's what you need to hear just yet. You ain't saved yet. You're not part of the covenant just yet. You ain't received the Holy Ghost. Look what Paul addresses all his epistles to. To the saints, which are in Ephesus. To the saints in Galatia. To the saints in Corinth. Not to the unbelievers.
Right.
The epistles are for those that are believers, that have received the Holy Ghost, and I hope you're part of that group
Amen.
And you know it. Hope you know you've been changed from death unto life, or don't study the book of Ephesians, especially the book of Ephesians, because that's not a baby book either. That's for men of God.
Amen.
For women of God, not little boys, not little child, not one, you made the church, good job, pat you on the back. No, it's time to be a believer. It's time to be a man of God.
Amen.
And to stand up and realize that everything ain't going to just work out peachy, but God's got a plan.
Amen.
And if you'll stick with his will, it will destroy the devil every time, everywhere, every place.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Going to preach a little bit, I guess. I thought I was teaching. Maybe not. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And I'm going to emphasize that because Brother Branham even talks about it. He said there was no presbyter who couldn't put his hands on Paul
Amen.
To ordain him. He was ordained by God and not just some like intellectual experience. God met him in the pillar of fire
Amen.
And said, I am sending you to the Gentiles.
Amen.
That's an experience that every man of God should have before he steps behind the pulpit. He better know where he stands.
Sure.
He better know that it doesn't matter what man accepts him or doesn't. It's did God accept him or not? Did God call him or not? And if God has, his will provide the whole way.
Amen.
We know what happened too. Paul wasn't just quite ready yet. When he saw the pillar of fire, he was blinded for days. He didn't eat or drink or nothing. And then God came to Ananias and said, go to my servant Paul, that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Goes to show, you ain't ready to preach the gospel, you ain't ready to do nothing for God until you've received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Paul never would have penned the book of Ephesians had he not received the Holy Ghost yet.
Right.
And when Paul received the Holy Ghost, we understand the Bible says that he went to Arabia, I believe it was for 3 years, to go through the Scripture, knowing that it has to be the Scripture.
Amen.
The will of God and the Word of God are one and the same.
Amen.
Everybody wants to hear from God. I want to hear from God. I can't hear from God. You know what the Word says and you ain't doing it. That's why you're not hearing from God.
Amen.
These signs follow them that believe. Well, unless it's my situation, then it's a little different. Well, you ain't going to hear from God because you've done left His Word. You've left His will and there's no power left.
Amen.
There's only power in the will of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this in the Ephesian Church Age. It says, Paul founded the church at Ephesus about the middle of the century, first century. This enabled us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian Church Age about 53 AD. His manner of ministering... Listen to this closely. This is how Paul ministered. His manner of ministering set the pattern that all future messengers were to aspire to. And actually sets the pattern for every true minister of God.
Amen.
Though he would not attain to such heights in the prophetic realm as did Paul, Paul's ministry had a threefold quality and was as follows. And I'm just going to read those lines. He's got scriptures to back this up. It's on page 74 if you want to check that out. It says, first of all, Paul was absolutely true to the word. He never deviated from it, no matter what the cost.
Amen.
You see a man who can all of a sudden change his interpretation of the scripture just because he doesn't want to lose his paycheck, chances are he's not called of God. You find a man that's up one day, down another day, this way, believes prophet, then he don't, then he believes this, and then he... That ain't the man you want. You want to be listening to that because a twofold or a man that's double tongued is unstable in all his ways.
Right.
I'm not saying every man's exactly perfect, but when it comes to staying on the Word of God, if a man doesn't say that this is exactly the truth from Genesis to Revelation, and you can hang your entire soul on the book of the revelation of this book, if he deviates from that at all to let you sisters know, it's all right to trim a little bit of your hair.
I'll be hearing me.
That's all right for you guys, you know, you men to use them other kind of cuss words when you're around your buddies and tell, you know, kind of, you know, laugh with a little bad humor and things like that. That's not what Paul did. And I'll go as far as say that. Paul's life shows what any Christian should have been like.
Sure.
Any Christian that's received the grace of God that doesn't turn his back on God, he's the one that stood with God no matter what happened to him. And if we would take our lives and measure it up to the adversity that he had to go through, I think we'd get over it.
Right.
I think we quit whining, go, oh my, it's so hard. Even though Paul had all those things, he still had an internal struggle just like you and I.
Right.
And we'd have thought, oh my, he's been to the third heaven, he's done this and that. And yet he still said, woe is me. From a man, I wish I wasn't in this mortal flesh. I want to be changed. I want to be in my glorified body, but I have to stay here. But Paul never left the word for anything. Secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating two things, the spoken and the written word.
Amen.
Which means a man can have power and things like that, but if he leaves the written word, he's left God. But a man can have the revelation, or seem to have the revelation of the written word, but if he leaves the spoken word, and what's the spoken word? Not just thought, but a word. A thought expressed, a thought that creates reality.
Amen.
That's the spoken word. Look, when God spoke there'd be a world, that made a world. When it was in his thoughts, it was still just there. It was just as real. But it wasn't materialized yet until he spoke it.
Amen.
And a man that's called of God has the right written word and the right spoken word.
Sure.
Paul didn't deviate from the word now. We know that. That's what was the first thing he said. But look, he still didn't come trying to entice people with his preaching. He didn't come with fancy words and all PowerPoints and just, oh, look, you have to just aspire to this. And that's not teaching. Teaching was in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Here, you want to get healed? Let me show you how it's done.
Amen. That's right.
You want to cast out devils? Well, here's how we get it done. To where devils actually leave. We don't just talk about them and get more devils.
Right.
And thirdly, he says this, he had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry. When Jesus came, he came to save the world, and guess what? He did. Minister of God is sent to spread the gospel. It has to catch the predestinated. If it's not catching any predestinated, but it's actually pushing them away, oh my. Look, you guys are looking at me funny, but I'm telling you it's the truth anyhow. I've watched it. I've watched ministers that take somebody that's standing on the word and destroy them to pieces. And here's somebody who, you know, on Saturday before church, they're out at a football game getting ready, you know, getting in the spirit, obviously, for Sunday morning. Deacon and everything, don't matter. Man, preachers do this kind of stuff. Preachers that, oh, they had late golf night last night, so we're going to come in and listen to a tape. Because they didn't have time to study. Look at me funny, but I've heard it. I've seen a lot of it, actually. It's a shame. It goes to show that every minister of God has to be in line with what Paul was. And I'm glad to know that God sent us a messenger that did that.
Amen.
You show me where Brother Brandon was wishy-washy about the word. You show me a time where he didn't demonstrate the power of God.
Amen.
You show me a time when he didn't have fruit to his ministry. We're here 50 years later.
Amen.
Still fruit to the ministry. And I know, we all want to think that it's not another denomination. I hope you understand. But God's got to use somebody to bring the word.
Amen.
He brought Noah. I mean, you can get all mad with Noah all you want to, but somebody had to come tell him the word.
Right.
And people want to say, well, you know, the book of Hebrews said there that, you know, he spoke in times past by the holy prophets, but now by his son. The same man that wrote that said that you had to hear the word written by all the holy apostles and prophets. They still around or not? He said that the mystery given now to the holy apostles and prophets, not the ones that was, but the ones that are here now.
Amen.
They're still prophets of God. I'm sorry, you can think that there's not, but there is.
Yes, it is.
And even today, I hope you understand, I believe today there's still prophets of God.
Amen.
I believe the word to the Gentiles is over, but that don't mean we don't have prophets
right. That
can tell you the word of the Lord. How many wants to hear the word of the Lord?
Amen.
All right. Well, there's that about Paul. Let's go back to Ephesians for a second then. Let's really delve into this. Ephesians chapter 1. As long as you pull on the word of God, I don't think we'll be here all too long. But, you know, if you want to be here all afternoon, Brother Ken, I guess we'll just go the hard route. I love God, don't you? I'm glad he's my father. I'm glad he's not my Lord and taskmaster and things like of that sort without being my father first. I'm glad to know him as my father. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. And we already know, we just went through that, but what are saints? They're sanctified ones. They're ones that have been changed, they have been molded, they've been made to the image of the Son of God. And they want to get closer. They want to be more like it. They want to die more. They want to be a better Christian. And that's what the epistles are set to do. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. Where are these faithful at? Are they in Defiance? Are they at Truth Tabernacle? Are they in Jeffersonville? Are they at Brother Donnie's? Where are they? They're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know the bride will all gather in one place?
Yes,
did you know that? It's in Christ.
Amen.
That's where they're all gathered. In Christ Jesus, grace be to you in peace. Can I say that this morning? Peace be to you. So if you're still wandering and tossing and turning, oh my, am I this, am I that? Look, the epistles are written to give you peace. Here, I'm showing you what you really are. I know what you think you are. I know what you look in the mirror and see the will of the flesh tells you you are. But I'm here to tell you what the will of God said you are.
Amen.
I'm here to encourage you and bring you up to your real rightful position.
Amen. That's right.
The book of Ephesians is what does that. Grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath, past tense,
Amen. Blessed
us with all, A-double-L, come on now, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if you already adhere to verse 1, that you're in Christ, now he's telling you what happens when you're in Christ.
Amen.
And you already have all spiritual blessings. It's not time to say, oh God, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. It's time to say, thank you, thank you, thank you for already healing me.
Amen.
Because before we even ask, he's already answered.
Yes.
He already did it. Look, he already knew you needed to be healed. He's already provided a way. He sent his son to die. You receive it.
Amen.
Say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Say, I've got to ask the first time. I don't know. I think if you just start praising God, he'd do it anyhow.
Right.
How many have seen God move on something you even forgot to pray about it, but something on the inside must have because God already answered?
Amen.
What does the Bible say? That you receive the Holy Spirit that will make intercessions even when you don't know what to pray for.
That's right.
And if we'll walk in the Spirit, it'll be so much, it'll become you. You'll be one with it that you'll actually begin to see the plan of God.
Amen.
You'll leave here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's
where it's all muddled, it's all confusing, it's all, oh my, what is this, what is that, why did that happen to me, why is this, why did Brother Andrew do that, why is my church like this, and just get on out of that, get into Christ, say, Lord, I believe right now is a completely predestinated moment in my life. You told me I have all spiritual blessings. Why do I got this depression?
That's right.
I'm gonna leave it down there, Lord, today. You watch it leave. You need your sickness. Just go ahead and leave it down there. Watch it leave. Oh, but is it always just like that? Not necessarily. God wants to see if you really believe in it. Amen. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. Can you hear that today? Did you choose God? Might hurt your pride a little bit, but last I checked, we didn't choose God. God chose us. And he already told us, where did he choose us? Did he choose you even down here when you got here? No. Did he choose you the night you got the Holy Ghost? No. When did he choose you? When you were in Christ.
Amen.
If you recognize, every believer always was in Christ. So before the foundation of the world, I hope you can hear me now, the Word was God. And the Word was with God, but it was God. Eve was with Adam, but she was Adam. Can you hear it now? The Word, the same Word that was made, we understand it was a Logos that was made actual Word and produced Jesus Christ who stood and reigned over all. Hope you can visualize that's what it was. There's not another person up there. There's one that sits on the throne, and it was Jesus Christ in his theophany. That was the very first image that they ever had. And he was stood there as the ruler of all. And he still stands there as the ruler of all. And he created angels, and we understand the world and things, and he just wasn't satisfied because he wanted to create something that was him. He wanted to look in a mirror and see himself. And you know what he was? He was the creator. He was able to take from himself and create what was still him, yet was with him. I pray you hear in Revelation today. He chose us, though, before he even began to start that whole plan. Before there was anything, before there was an atom, before there was a molecule, before there was anything, he already chose you in himself.
Amen.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, take this home today if you don't take anything, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Everybody's trying to aspire to just make God pleased with them. And I hope he's happy with me. And we just get down and we grovel up to him and say, oh, Master, please be happy with me. What did the Bible already said? If you've been born of the Spirit of God, it's there. You're already there.
Amen.
He's already accepted you. And you can tell a believer that has that. Because they don't have to get and go up and down and worry about this and worry about that. And, oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. They've already left all that. They're up in another realm. They're in a different world. They look around and everybody else sees trouble and trials and the things falling apart. They say, no, it's perfectly fine.
Sure.
It's going right the way God wanted it to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, if Moses would have stayed up there when he came to the Red Sea and said, this is fine. Let's just use this rod. It worked 10 other times. Get out of the way, see?
Uh-huh.
See, that's foolish. God had to tell him. No, God got mad he had to tell him because he already told him. God didn't have to do that to Joshua, though. When Joshua saw the need, and they were destroying the enemy, he didn't worry about praying up real quick. He said, son, stand still.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Where it failed before, it did it now.
Amen.
So we're going to Ephesus.
Amen.
So what is Ephesus? A perfect parallel of Joshua. Perfect, absolutely. Why? Because it's the believer's position in Christ. And back in Israel, just the second they crossed Jordan, the land was theirs.
Amen.
You say, well, they haven't won any battles. It was theirs anyhow. Everywhere they went, it just became theirs. It was just theirs. Because it always was theirs because God already said it was.
Amen.
And that's the kind of army God wants, where every soldier's in line and the enemy gets put down flat. We think, oh, that's good, but, you know, we can have one sickness here and one person that's backslid here. That ain't what God wants. He wants an army, a single-file army that every believer fights.
Amen.
Not out of his own accord, because he believes that if we just walk forward, walking in the Spirit. Now, I hope you're listening to those last services there. If you're walking in the Spirit, nothing can stop you.
That's right.
But to walk in the Spirit and to walk in the will of God is the exact same thing.
Amen.
That's how you can take your experience and know if you're really doing right, because it'll match with the will of God.
Amen.
That's why Joshua knew. No commandment told him to tell the sun to stand still, but the commission said, destroy the enemy.
Amen.
And he said, time is getting in my way.
Amen.
Even time didn't stop him.
Right.
I don't care about time. I don't care about the laws of nature. I've got a God that created that law, and he can change it if he wants to.
Amen.
Because God's will is the preeminence. Did you hear me? That's what we're talking about, the will of God. Why was Paul sent? It was the will of God, and aren't you glad?
Amen.
Where would we be without Paul being sent to the Gentiles?
Right.
When all those legalizers came up and said, you need to be circumcised, you need to follow the law, aren't you glad there was a man that stood up and said, that's not the gospel.
Amen.
And got us all back out of bondage.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Let me just read a few scriptures. John 6:39 says this, and this is the Father's will which he has sent me. Look, if you want to know God's will, here it is. Jesus already told you. The Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Were you given to Christ? Were you chosen before the foundation of the world? Well, it's the Father's will that he doesn't lose you.
Amen.
Everybody trying to stay saved. You're already saved. You're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Listen to this now. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have possessed everlasting life.
Amen.
And you say, oh, that's just good out there in heaven. No, there's benefits right here. Having everlasting life. And if you ain't got it here, you don't got it there. Because in order to have it there, you have it now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 15:15 says this, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father. Do you understand? He heard the will of God. All that I've heard, that's the will of God, I'm telling you. And God did the same for us in this day.
Amen.
John 15:15-16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you.
Amen.
Now that's ordained. That's not just for us. He ordained it. He made it this way. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Everybody, oh, I want to be a Christian. I want to see fruit in my life, in my ministry. Look, if you recognize that he already ordained it that way, and you quit trying to do it, and realize it's already ordained.
Sure, amen.
And walk in the Spirit, walk in the will of God. How do we do that? Renewing our minds. What does that mean? Quit saying what the Word don't say. Only say what the Word says.
Amen.
Why am I at this place? Why is this cashier taking too long? Why have I been here for hours and hours? No, raise up.
Right.
You'll recognize you're an ambassador. Sent on a mission. You know when an ambassador from the U.S. goes to Iran or whatever? He don't waste 1 minute. I guarantee you that, right? He ain't going down and getting him a Slurpee at the place and an ice and goofing off. He's on a mission. What's the problem? Too many Christians think, oh, we're just kind of floating along. No. The will of God is that you're ordained to shed forth light, to bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
Now, I can show you a few others. Let me read what Peter says here. Let me find it. I believe it's Peter. 1 Peter 2:15 says this, for so is the will of God that with well-doing, not bad doing now, not being mean and cutting and all this, with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do you testify the things of God? Be a Christian. Just be a Christian all the time. In church, out of church, at home, at the job, be a Christian.
Amen.
And your life will testify that when they wanted to kill Jesus, what did they have to say? Not for an evil work do we condemn you.
Right.
They had to say that. They didn't have anything. When they wanted to curse Daniel. Well, what was their conclusion? The only thing we can do is figure out how to get Daniel's God to be bad.
Right.
Because Daniel ain't.
That's right. Amen.
And a Christian, you say, oh my, that's difficult. No, you're ordained to be like that. As he walked the earth, you're ordained to walk like him.
Amen.
Because it's the will of God.
Right.
It is the will of God. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few more about the will of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
When you begin to realize that every moment was predestinated and ordained for you to do something that God would get to glory, you'll quit being afraid to do things for God. You'll just do it.
Amen.
You won't be afraid to say the word, because what's going to happen? They're going to fire you? Who gave you your job?
That's right. That's right.
Who gave you this? Who gave you? It was Him. He's the one that gave it to you. And I don't think, look, the will of God and the word of God are one and the same. You say, well, I should respect, you know, and I'll just go to my profession. You respect, you know, church and state. We need to keep God out of the schools. Well, that's why they're all going to jail. That's why they're all getting pregnant, because we took God out of school. Well, forget that. I don't care. They can take God out of school they want to. I am packing God, and you can't take God out of school unless you fire me. Because I'm there. And where I am, He is. And where He is, I am. So you can't take God out of school if there's a Christian there with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You try it. God will stand by you. And I am. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to be an example. Don't be afraid. Some of y'all got jobs where they wouldn't care if you testify and things like that. Could I get in trouble? Absolutely. But it's not the point. We're not here for this life. We're here for the life to come.
Amen.
And if you can get one person, one, to see the message of the hour, and I'm not just talking another denomination now. You hope you already heard me way back then. A person get born of the will of God.
Amen.
Not you pushing them in the will of the flesh, not all of us coming together and pushing them into doing this and pushing. How many's watched that happen? Oh, we baptized 20 of them. How many of them still here?
Yeah.
None. It's not happening when Paul baptized people, did it?
Right.
Because why? If the person doesn't understand what they're doing, you don't need to baptize them.
Right.
You're just wasting time. You're just going to make them a wet sinner. Now, if somebody asks you to do it, well, I think you can go ahead and do it. As much, I wouldn't baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'll baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe they don't completely understand, but I will at least try to. But if they still want to do it, I mean, how are you going to go wrong? They might just accidentally get the Holy Ghost. I don't know. It's the same with witnessing, though. We think, oh, my, if I do this wrong, I do this wrong. Well, what's the worst going to happen? They're still heading to hell anyways. Might as well try something.
Right. Amen.
But if we'll back up and realize, I'm standing here because God wants me to stand here.
Amen.
I am not alone.
Amen.
I am filled. Not just sprinkled on, not just trickled on my head. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I got a revelation that the Holy Ghost is God, and that God is standing here now. And God, don't waste time.
Amen.
Every moment of Jesus' life was ordained for a purpose. And we understand that He never missed it, and we do. We have to recognize that. We do miss it. But that's not the time to lay down and miss it again. And then lay down again and miss it again and miss it again and miss it again and miss it again. You're never going to get out of it. The thing of it is just repent and move on.
Amen.
Repent and move on. Repent and move on. Do the will of God.
Amen.
You'll never go wrong. Never. And when the will of God said, I want you to preach the gospel to every creature, no matter where it is, you do that.
Amen.
Say, well, I might make this, I might do this, and they might... No. No. You won't make a mess of it. Because you're doing what He told you to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Servants, Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye servants as men pleaders, but as the servants of Christ. Listen to this now. Doing the will of God from the heart.
Amen.
So is it good enough just to read and acknowledge and say, well, I guess I'll do what Jesus said? No. No, 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 no. That shows you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't start on the flesh, and if it did, you ain't got it. You just had it. You just got anointed one time. That ain't what we're talking about now. We're talking about being filled, sealed until the day of redemption, to where God is always there. And if that's the case, your heart's been changed. Your heart ain't in the world no more. It's in God. And you'll automatically, from the heart, want to do the things of God. When you find a born-again believer, yeah, what's he do? He thinks all the time, Christ is watching what I'm doing.
Amen.
And we have to be careful. It's very easy to go, well, the boss ain't here today.
Right.
Man,
right.
I'll let that part slide. I'll just goof on the internet for a little bit here, no one care, right? That's just my job. You all got different ones, but it's not right of us. It's not. We should serve it as if it was Christ, because it is. It really is. Who's really your boss? It ain't your boss.
Amen.
It's your boss. It's your boss in heaven. Even when you're at home and you're doing, you women doing, raising your children, doing the things that God told you to do. Don't do it grudgingly. Do it from the heart. Saying, God, you ordained me here. I might not like it all the time, but you ordained me here, and from my heart, I'm going to do what you told me to do as if you're standing in here.
Amen.
We went to Jesus' house, and he asked us to clean it. What would it look like? We didn't have product. We'd go find some product. We ain't got a towel. We're going to go get alone and get some towels because this is Jesus' house. Who lives in you anyhow? I didn't say your house. Now, who lives in you?
Right.
It's wherever you are, he's there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Going a little bit different than I thought, but I hope that's okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, 5:18, in everything give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God. Well, that just took all our reason right out the window, didn't it? Well, I mean, it's just tough. It's hard. I don't feel good. No, what's the will of God? To give him thanks all the time. All the time. I don't feel like, I don't care. Give him thanks.
Amen.
And I've even had to go to ministers, been preaching years and years and years, and tell them the same thing. Quit laying down in the dumps. Give God praise. Say, well, do it anyways. It's God's will.
Amen.
And if you'll stick with his will, he'll bring his word to pass. Hallelujah. And he'll bring you back where you were before the foundation. He'll bring you back in the heavenly places where you really are. You just lost sight of that. Moses got away from his faith. Didn't mean he lost it. He still had it. He just couldn't get benefits out of it. Hallelujah. Let's actually read Ephesians 1. Is that all right? Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you see yourself in the word right there? We. He didn't say me. He said we. And he said to the saints. And if you're a saint filled with the Holy Ghost, you're part of we.
Amen.
That we should be holy. That Andrew Kressel should be holy. That Truth Tabernacle should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I'm not going to go into adoption just yet. We probably will later on. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, the power of the will of God is what has saved every man that ever was saved. Wasn't our will. Our will would have put us in hell. You say, oh, that's kind of foolish. No. Because a man will demand justice. Even a man, look at Abel. What happened when remember the blood of Abel didn't speak what the blood of Christ did.
Right.
The blood of Abel spoke judgment.
Right.
Cain killed me, God, you have to judge him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Different dispensation, but what would the blood of Christ have spoken? Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
Hallelujah. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise. Oh, I hope we got praise for this one. Excuse me. To the praise of the glory of his grace. What does that mean to you and I? How many seen the glory of the grace of God yet?
Amen.
Oh my, when you begin to realize the grace of God, that you and I were the filthiest of the filthy, the most unworthy of unworthy. We should have went and rotted to hell just like anyone else did. But the grace of God, that pure, clean, holy hand, reach down into, look, put yourself in a real reality here, right in the middle of the sewer pipes.
What?
Not just a little bit, though. He had to dive his whole body in there and go down to hell.
Uh-huh.
To reach for you and I.
Amen.
And had it just been you, you would have done everything.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace. What else are we going to do in heaven? We're not going to praise him just for it. We're going to praise him for the grace that he had on us. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom? In who again? Who? What are we talking about? In Christ. In him. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me read your quote here. Brother Branham says this. This might choke you up a little bit, but I hope you'll be all right. Sins. Did you notice that? Did everybody notice it said the word sins there? Amen. Did I read verse 7? Yeah. Okay. Sins. Did you notice that? You know, God don't condemn a sinner for sinning. He condemns him for being a sinner. If a sinner smokes a cigar, he don't condemn him for it. He's a sinner anyhow. He don't have any sins, the sinner don't. He's just a sinner, see? He don't have any sins. But you have sinned. You that's Christians. Are you listening now? Listen closely. You notice here he's talking to the church. Remember, the whole book of Ephesians ain't to the unbelievers. It's to the church. You notice here he's talking to the church. Keep her straight, see? The forgiveness of sins, S-I-N-N-S. We commit sin, but the sinner is a sinner. God don't forgive him. Let me just keep reading here. Well, now you say, well, he was out here and shot a man. What are you going to do about it? That ain't none of my business. I ain't a reformer.
Right.
I'm a preacher. The law will take care of that. They're reformers. Well, he commits adultery. That's up to the law. That's between him and the law. I'm not a reformer. I don't reform people. I want to get them converted.
Amen.
I'm a preacher. See, my business is to get him to God. If he sinned, that's his business. He's a sinner. God condemns him on a higher level. He's a sinner to begin with. He's condemned to start with. He didn't even get to first base. He's nowhere. He's a sinner to start with. He don't have any sins. He's a sinner. He couldn't go out and say, this much is night and this much isn't night. No, it's all night. Just all night. That's what God said. That's right. He's just a sinner. That's all. Now, he did this. This much is night. And this is real bright right here. And I know, but it's all just night. That's all. I couldn't say this much is light right here. No, it's just all light. See, it's just light. You can't say how much, see? But if he's got a black spot in this, then there's darkness in it. See, sins, S-I-N-S. We have forgiveness of our sins through his blood, his precious blood. How do we forget it? Because we're unworthy. We did something to have our sin. Let me say that right. How did we forget it? Because we're worthy? Listen to me now. Did we get our sins forgiven because we're worthy?
No.
We did something to have our sins forgiven? His what? What forgave us? His grace.
Amen.
His completely unmerited favor. Not planning on wrapping up soon, but keep pulling on the word. Oh my, nothing in my arms I bring, Lord. Nothing could I do. There isn't a thing I could do. Look, he predestinated me. He called me.
Amen.
He chose me. I never chose him. He chose me. He chose you. He chose all of us. We didn't choose him. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. He said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that the Father has given me will come. And none of them is lost except the Son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Look at this Bible here. What kind of Bible is this? Say, well, that's black. Is there a little black one here? Oh, it's just black. Just as much as this is just black, this is what makes most people's hearts in this evil age look like in the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a spot here and here. The whole thing is black. You're just sinners. But a Christian, he's been washed. He's been purified. He's been cleansed. But that doesn't mean he doesn't make a mistake here and there. We'll just use this page for an example. You see, oh, that's mostly white. What are these little temporal things that you did? They ain't going to stay there. I hope you understand that. In the eyes of God, that's you. You see, this is what he's. This is you right here. I'm talking down here in time. This is what happens. Let's just be honest with ourselves. But the grace of God to a born again believer already has an atonement that will wash that away.
Sure, amen.
Not just for a little bit of time. Not until you feel bad about it again. It's gone. And you become this. He that is begotten of God keeps himself unspotted from the world. Keeps himself, which means spots come, he gets rid of them.
Amen.
They come again, he gets rid of them. They come again, he gets rid of them. He realizes he's in a battle, and he ain't going to lay down.
Amen.
You find Christians that just get in the dumps and just stay down there. There's something wrong. It's time to get back up. But if you really got the Holy Ghost ain't going to lose. The will of God can't be beat. And what do we just realize? In the book of Ephesians, if you are a saint, he's already called you by his own will. He already predestinated you by his own will. He's already set you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by his own will.
Amen.
And how can his will fail? It can't fail.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was something I noticed, and I'm going to try to wrap up here. I read most of that before. You type in will of God, put it in parentheses, so it just comes up the will of God. At least in a casual search of it, I found one Old Testament. scroll in the New Testament. Why is that, brother?
They didn't know his will in the Old Testament. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know his character. They were just given little pieces of the word. Here's a little bit. Here's a little bit. And they would just walk in what little they had. They never could get down to, who is this man in the first place? So you all might be able to look on, you know, and research about me and find my address.
You know, we think we can hide our information, but you try hard, you're going to find everything else about me. You find every time I went to Walmart, probably. If you try hard enough, you can figure it out anymore. I've just about given up trying to keep it. They got it. It's somewhere, you know. Technology sounds like the greatest thing, but it's really enslaved us all, hasn't it? Because now nothing's hidden anymore. Say, well, I ain't got this, I ain't got that. They'll find you, don't worry, if they need to, or whoever they are. You can figure out that about me. You can figure out where I live. You can figure out how tall I am, my anatomy, how long my fingers are, and all these things. And that's all good and great, but you don't know me. You don't know my will. You don't know my desires. You don't know what I'm going to do when something happens because you only know little details. You haven't got down to my character. But have you understood yet that the New Testament is the covenant?
Yes.
We weren't given a new covenant, even by the message of the hour. That's not a new covenant. It's a restoration of the covenant that we lost. We lost sight of it because why? Denominations came in and said, oh, no, that's not the covenant. You need to eat this wafer that we've magically turned into the body of Christ. And really, we're all cannibals now and vampires because we're going to eat the body of Christ and we're going to drink his blood. Hopefully, that's any Catholics, but that's the truth anyhow. That's what they teach, and they ain't afraid to teach it. That's what they teach. When that bishop got up in Kenneth Copeland and said, we're all Catholic, I said, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not a cannibal like you all. I think the communion is commemoration of it. In remembrance of him, not because I need to eat his body. I am eating his body because I have a revelation of what that is. It's the word. Amen. Covenant's already here. And it is, it's not even eternal. I hope you catch it. It's everlasting. What does that mean? It's only for time. Because we will make mistakes when we fall. But really, the picture that God had is already made. And I began to realize how this works, because you and I do it a lot more than we think. My wife showed me something that showed me how God does this. She had her friend just get married. And she was 22 years old. Ellie's known her since she's about 6. She can't get out of her mind that she's really that old. Because actually, my wife was only 21 when we were married. So in one sense, she's older than her when they got married. And she just can't wrap her mind around why. Because she's got an image of Tabby when she met her. And that's the only one that can hold. All this little changing and things like that, it doesn't hold because it's not the image that she saw. You have somebody you haven't seen in a long time. You can't look at them and go, that's not, no, they're what you saw in your mind. You have to bust little tiny creatures have to go back to do that. And we can't accept this new stuff, can we? We have to accept what we believe. Because that was the truth. God already has that picture-perfect bride without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
And even though we're down here in time, we're being changed and all this stuff, no. That's not what he sees. He sees what his will produced. Perfection.
Amen.
Holy. Blameless. Not just that, but he himself made flesh and blood. That when we see him, we'll be like him.
Amen.
And it doesn't yet appear, which means down here, we don't know what that body looks like just yet. But we do know one thing. When he comes, we'll be like him.
Amen.
Why is that? Didn't we just figure out why that was? It was his will to do it. And nothing will stop the will of God. Let's stand together this morning. Praise his holy name. I want you all to do that if you get a chance. Go look up that will of God in the New Testament. Go check it out. See what God had to say about that. And you'll find it. It does. It tells you what to do on a day-to-day basis. We just read that about servants and obeying your masters, and it tells husbands, do this with your wives because it's the will of God. And raise your children up this way. It's the will of God. And it's God's will that all would be healed. It's God's will that all would be saved. And everybody's trying to get saved. What do you mean? It was God's will. Just enter into it. What's the only thing Jesus said he was looking for? Faith. Because if you have faith in the Word of God, it will produce every characteristic of God. Hallelujah. I appreciate the Word.
Yeah.
What we realize is that God's will is for us. And it should make us the happiest people in the world. Let's bow our heads together as we feel His presence come in. Hope you've been taught now. This isn't the time to just, well, we'll sing a song and pack up. No. The will of God's here. God said, Jesus said, what you three gather together in my name, I'll be in the midst. And He's here now. How many believes that? Say amen. You have a need. Sometimes, really, if you're just thanking for it, I don't even know if you got to ask first time. But you go ahead and ask first time and then start praising. Don't wait for Brother Andrew to start praising. Don't wait for some cue and all this. It's you and him right now. And what do you have need of? I might not even hear for you. He might be all right. God might bless you. And I believe He does. He takes care of His own. The world's sicker than we should be because God has paid for our healing. The world should be more formal than you and I because Christ is our refuge. At the same time, that don't mean you ain't got a loved one that's sitting out there trying to do the things of the world and it's just miserable for them and they ain't getting nowhere. It's the will of God to move through His children. It's the will of God that you should bring forth much fruit. And that's healing, that's prophecy, and bringing in souls. That's fruit to the ministry. Hallelujah. If you have a need, would you raise it to the Lord now? And not just haphazard. Pick something. Say, Lord, this is it. I believe this now. I believe it's Your will because I've been taught that it's Your will. And I'm expecting to see it now. Hallelujah, Lord. Is there anyone that have a need of healing? Say, Lord, I want healed before I walk out of this place because I know it's Your will. This is you and him now. I ain't got no power to heal you. He does. He's waiting for you to say. Say, Lord, thank you for healing me.
Yes,
thank you that I don't have this disease anymore. Thank you I don't have this pain anymore. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to walk out with the joy of the Lord on my face because you've given me that power. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that would say, Lord, I'm sorry, my heart seems to be drifting from you and I know I've been doing things that ain't your will. That they're not your word. But Lord, I want to come back. I want to commit my heart once again. You say, well, I did that last week. I don't care. Paul said he died every day. He died every day to what he did wrong. And was renewed. He was raised again. He was resurrected back a Christian every morning because he was willing to lay his own life down. Saying, God, take away all that's me. Let it all be you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's yield our request to him. And let's give him praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that's here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that you promised these things to us, and we don't have to work things up. We don't have to try to earn it, Lord. We just have to believe you. And I believe I'm in a group right now that believes this word. And as the word comes forth from their mouth, I pray that from heaven you begin to answer. Lord God, that each one would be healed that has claimed their healing. Lord, that the joy of the Lord would spring to those that are downcast and fighting and struggling. But Lord, they would find the peace of God that comes with knowing they're elected. Oh God, you gave us election. It shows us where we came from, but you've also predestinated, Lord, and it shows us where we're going. Oh God, I pray that we would leave this realm of this terrible world that we live in. And we would stay up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where you said, Lord, that all that's been baptized are living in that place. I pray you let the revelation sink into every heart that's here. That, Lord, soon and very soon, Lord, we are going to see the King. He's going to be there, Lord, and we're not going to have to just, our faith will end in sight, Lord. We'll see you. Glorify. We'll be with our loved ones. Oh, God, help us to sell all that we have in this world and buy that pearl of great price. Lord, if there's one soul here, as the Spirit begins to discern the hearts, if there's one heart here that has blackness, oh God, have mercy on them today. And may your grace be able to wash away by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that you shed before the foundation of the world. I pray that blood would begin to wash every heart. Or if there's one that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, again, Lord, you're the one that knows. May they be like the Ephesians who didn't fight and struggle and getting a big debate with Paul, but just said, we haven't heard there's been a Holy Ghost. I haven't received a Holy Ghost because I haven't known what to do yet. But there's one here that said, Lord, just fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. And we know that, God, we thank you for being gracious to us. A lot of times we just need to be filled again. We just need to feel that unction again, Lord. And even like Job, sitting on the ash heap, he didn't leave the word, but he began to get frustrated. He began to say, where is that anointing I always felt? And Lord, you let him go through a period where he didn't. But if we'll just hold on to the word, it'll come back. Because you've never really left us, Lord. You promised it in the word. You would never leave us or forsake us. And I pray that each soul here believes that. Lord, that you would save their loved ones, that you would hear their request tonight. This afternoon, rather, Lord. That the word that was preached, that your will would truly be done in the hearts of every person that's in this congregation. May we be able to bring a report back and say, that's exactly the truth. God heard exactly what I said, and he did. Grant to each believer that's here, may you show them their position in grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. In his sovereign presence. Oh, let's not be in no hurry. Let's not worry about our neighbors and lunch and work tomorrow and what we're doing tonight. Let's not do any of that. Let's lay that all aside now. And in this solemn moment, look, all death and life hangs in the balance every time the presence of God shows up. What do you have to say to the Master? Can't you just love on him and appreciate what he's done? And what he's doing right now, if you're not delivered, I believe you are right now. Because the presence of God is here. And the devil can't stay. Don't listen to no devil's lie. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Quit lying to God's people. You're not sick, brother. You're not lost, sister. They'll be there. Don't worry about them. If you'll commit it to God, God will bring them. Let the Holy Spirit speak His word through you now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed God. Oh, just worship Him with all your heart. Say, well, we ain't singing songs. That's probably the best time to start worshiping Him because He knows you're just doing it from your heart now. You're in a church less than about 20 people. Who are you showing off to? How about we just show to the Master how much we appreciate Him? Oh, Jesus, thank you, Father. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mean it from your heart now. Do the will of God. We already know that giving thanks is the will of God, but do it from your heart. God, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of adoration, Father. You're worthy of every voice I could ever have, Lord. Every time I could raise my hands, Lord. You're worthy of all the strength that I have. You're worthy of all the love I've got. God, forgive us for giving our loves to the things of the world and to the devil and all the flesh and all this nonsense. Lord, let us give our love that you deserve. Lord, you put this calling in our hearts, Lord. God forbid we fill with anything of the world. Let us fill it with you, Father. Hallelujah, with praise and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, saints of God, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ. You've watched what's going on in the world. If you pay attention at all, you know this is prophecy fulfilled. It can't go on much longer. How long will it take for this system to break and take over the world? Hallelujah, Jesus. But not to you. Not to you, children. Not to you, the beloved of God. God ain't going to let you sit down here in that mess. He's taking you home. When Joseph made himself known to his brothers, his wife was done set away, hiding in the palace. There was no famine there. He had food. She had food. She had a lot. She had a nice home. Say, we're in a famine. No, get out of this world. You're in heavenly places. There's no famine for us. That's for the world. They're looking for the Word of God. You are the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, let that revelation just flow through you now. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise be to God. I believe in waiting on the Lord. I believe in letting the Spirit of God do what He wants to do. Because if it's not the will of God, it can't stand. But the will of God changes lives. The will of God heals people. The will of God changes the situation.
It's where all the darkness becomes light. It's where all the evil becomes good. It's where all the sin dissipates in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, just picture him now, his arms wide open. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for sanctification. Thank you, Lord. Come forward as we, I believe there's faith in this building. The Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, you'll recover. It says if there's any sick among you, let them call the elders and anoint with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and God will raise them up. Don't leave in here discouraged tonight. I expect to see smiles from people that have received from the blessing of God. Well, it might be tears, but they're tears of joy when you realize you're in Christ. Well, the world's falling apart, not in Christ. The world never fell apart. It's going back to its original condition, and that's where we want to go. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. Let's sing that. It's worthy. Let's sing that song.
Worthy.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, worthy.
Praise and adore Him now. Give Him thanks.
Worthy.
Yes, You are, Lord. We adore You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Worthy. Worthy.
With all your heart.
That was
just picture yourself already over there and praise Him that way.
Oh, worthy.
Yes, Lord, we made it, Father.
Worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
Worthy. The Lamb that was slain. Oh, worthy.
Yes, You are, Lord. Thank You, Father.
Worthy.
All your heart, worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. That's the Holy Ghost in fire. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lamb.
Yes, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord God, to each one. Hallelujah. Oh, you just jump right in. Just
jump right into the Holy Ghost. Just worship with all your heart. Leave this world. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him. Grant it, Lord. Your word, Lord God. Praise the Lamb that was slain. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Love Him. I love Him. Oh, I love Him. Yes, Lord. Yes, we do. Oh, I love Him. I love the Lamb that was slain. Yes, I love Him. All your heart. I love Him. Just let Him shower over you now. I love. Just yield to God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Love the Lamb that was slain. I love our hearts, I'll serve Him. Oh, I'll serve Him with all our heart, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll serve Him. I'll serve the Lamb that was slain. I'll serve Him. I'll serve. Adore Him now. Sing that again. Sing it again. Yes, Lord. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. He's the name above all names. Let's sing that now. Name above all names. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy of our praise. My heart will sing, and my heart.
How great it is our God. Oh, he's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great. Oh, I think we got it. Let's sing that again. With everything that's in you, give the King of Kings glory. Yes, Lord. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Dad, just keep playing. Just worship him in spirit now. Don't think about nothing. Just worship him in the spirit. Oh, just give him praise. He's worthy. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost have its way. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Let him do with you as he pleases. Remember, his will is the best way. Yes, Lord. Just keep worshiping and praising him now. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't hold nothing back when praising God. Give him everything you got. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Give him all your voice. Give him all your hands. Give him all your movement, all your praise. Thank you. All your love, all your adoration. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Yes, Lord Jesus. We worship you in spirit and in truth tonight.
Glory.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we adore you, Father. Just one last time, Dad. Do that one more time. Is our God, sing with me how great is our God. Atmosphere, I tell you, you could have anything. Anything that God said. This is heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't put it off in the future. This is what the Word Restored gave us. You have it right now. Benefit from it today. Don't leave with any heartache. Don't leave with any sickness. Don't leave with any pain. Don't leave with one doubt today. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're free. You're the children of God elected before the foundation of the world. You're predestinated unto all that God has given to us. As the world falls apart, you won't. You're a part of the Word you can't break because the Word can't break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just no way to dismiss a service like this. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. What heaven's going to be like, except we don't have to go nowhere. We can just stay right in the presence of God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Let God have his way. Don't be afraid of nothing. Don't be afraid of no devil. He's defeated. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid to speak in tongues and to give God praise and to worship in spirit and in truth. You give God worship. That's why we were created. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're just going to stay right in this presence. I'm not doing anything. We're going to stay right here that God can have His way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, let that Spirit have preeminence. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Father. Let's just all lift our hands. Let's all just worship Him a little bit. Oh, we praise and thank you, Lord. Each heart, give it fresh to Him. Oh, we thank you so much for your Spirit today, Lord. We thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Thank you for proving yourself the same, Lord God. Thank you for having the preeminence, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We turn the service over. Hallelujah. How many's happy to be a Christian today? How many sees that future where we were before the foundation of the world? It's just getting clearer and clearer and clearer. That by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. We can't be lost no more than God can be lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I feel to praise God a little bit. Pour a hand over to Dad. We sing how great He is. How about we sing how mighty He is? Is that all right? I hope it's all right if we go from worship to praise, but I believe it's all what God desires. How many just wants to praise Him with just a new fervor like never before? Hallelujah. Let's sing it. It's actually flat. That's what the book says. Hallelujah. Song's 306, but I think most of y'all know this one. And I'll give the service to Dad. You stay in praise and worship and do whatever you want as long as you need to. But if you need to go, you dismiss the name of Jesus. Let's sing. And what a mighty God we serve. And what a mighty God. God bless you, saints.